deep inside me. When I reach out with my other hand for the door handle, Brayden clears his throat. I pause when he says,
"You know that I'll be on my best behavior, right?"
Surprise floods through me. Before I can come up with a response, he continues,
"I won't do anything to embarrass you."
The earnestness of both his words and expression has my muscles loosening. I jerk my head into a tight nod. "Thank you." He gives me a wink, and I throw the door open. Chapter 24, Sydney. Brayden is a step behind me as we enter the foyer. There isn't one moment when I'm not intensely aware of his male presence. As soon as the door closes, boisterous voices greet my ears. We are not, nor have we ever been, a quiet family. We're loud and energetic, sometimes even a little unruly, with a proud Italian heritage. When my grandparents were alive, both my Nana and Nono were always here, adding to the commotion. My mother peeks around the corner of the kitchen at the back of the hallway. As soon as our gazes fasten, the edges of her lips bow up into a delighted smile. "Sydney, you're here!" Her excitement has the last of my nerves draining away. You would think by her enthusiastic reaction that she hasn't laid eyes on me in years, which couldn't be further from the truth. I was just here last Tuesday to pick up Lucas and take him out for ice cream. It's a tradition we started when I was 16 years old, after passing my driver's test, and we've been doing it ever since. If my 23-year-old brother has one weakness, it's for triple chocolate fudge brownie ice cream. It's the only time we spend together where it's just the two of us. It's his chance to tell me everything that's going on in his life. "Hi, Mom," I say in greeting. Her gaze immediately slides to the guy towering over me. The heat of his large body burns into my backside, making me even more cognizant of his overwhelming presence. "And this must be Brayden." Mom steps more fully into the doorway before wiping her hands on a dish towel. "We've heard all about you." Oh, Lord. I'm going to throttle court when I get my hands on him. My father fills the space behind Mom along with two of my brothers. Court beams a wide smile in my direction as if he knows the thoughts currently circulating through my head. When I narrow my eyes, silently promising retribution, his shoulders shake with barely suppressed laughter. Juliet, my oldest brother's wife, joins the throng. My nephew Caden is held in her arms. He's 2 years old and into everything. I've babysat for him on several occasions, and at the end, I go home more exhausted than if I'd played every minute of a soccer match. I would never say this to my brother or his wife because I love them more than anything, but Caden could be a poster child for birth control. As adorable as the little demon appears, he's hell on wheels. That kid is the reason I won't be having offspring anytime soon. My oldest brother, Ryan, emerges behind his wife. "Still looking forward to this?" I whisper between gritted teeth so only he can hear. It'll be a miracle if he makes it out of here in one piece.
"Absolutely."
The only reason Brayden sounds so confident is because he has no idea what he's gotten himself into. Just wait a couple of hours. He'll be curled up in the fetal position, sucking his thumb in a corner. These people don't care if he's Brayden Kendricks, Wildcats football stud who will go on to play in the pros. They'll eat him alive for dinner and ask what's for dessert. "Sydney!" Lucas shouts in excitement, drawing my attention back to the growing crowd of family members as he barrels through them before closing the distance that separates us and throwing his arms around me. "I missed you." "I missed you too, bud." I hold him close for a moment before releasing him and stepping away. I point to the tall guy beside me. This is my friend Brayden. He's here to help us celebrate Mom's birthday. Even though Lucas is only a few inches shorter than Brayden, he tilts his head and sizes up the dark-haired football player silently. Air gets wedged in my throat. There have been a handful of times when my brother has taken an instant dislike to someone and nothing anyone says or does is able to change his mind. It's an awkward situation for all involved. I really hope my family prepared him for this. Only now does it occur to me that I should have mentioned to Brayden that my brother has Angelman syndrome. It's not often that I bring guys home, and when I do, the way they handle themselves in his presence gives me a true glimpse into the kind of people they are. Call it a litmus test of sorts. Brayden raises a hand in greeting.
Hey, it's nice to meet you. Thanks for letting me drop by.
A hushed stillness falls over the group that stretches just to the point of discomfort. I'm about to jump in and save us from impending doom when Lucas tilts his head.
You play football?
Yep, Brayden replies easily. I'm a wide receiver for the Wildcats.
There's a beat of silence.
Do you like football?
My brother's eyes light up and some of his earlier reserve falls away.
I love football. I watch all the games on television. Sometimes Dad takes me to the stadium.
A smile curves Brayden's lips.
It's pretty cool to sit in the stands and watch, isn't it?
Lucas nods as his voice ratchets up in intensity.
I get to have popcorn and a hot dog sometimes.
His gaze flickers to our mother as he drops his voice.
If Mom isn't there, Dad lets me have an orange soda, but that's only for special occasions.
I heard that, Mom says over the babble of voices. She shoots my father a mock glare. Even though she pretends otherwise, she's well aware of what happens when she's not around. We'll be having a little chat about that after the party. Dad shrugs before pulling her close and pressing a kiss against the side of her face.
Let's focus on your birthday and save that unpleasant conversation for another day.
Uh-huh. She says, the edges of her lips curling upward.
That sounds like a good time,
Brayden says, focusing on my brother.
It's a lot of fun.
If you're interested, Brayden shifts his weight before offering, I can probably get a couple tickets at the 50-yard line.
My brother's eyes widen, and his mouth drops open.
Really? That would be awesome.
He glances at our father.
Right, Dad?
Sure would,
he replies, looking pleasantly surprised at how well the conversation is going. Emotion wells my throat, making it difficult to swallow past the thick lump that has become lodged there. I glance at Brayden, only to find him smiling at my brother. Who is this guy? And why is he being so nice to Lucas? Confusion swirls through me like a thick fog, throwing me out of whack. It's not the first time it's happened where he's concerned. Just when I start to feel like I have Brayden figured out, he does something that makes me question everything I assumed I knew. It takes a moment to grasp that I'm reluctant to alter my perception of him. I don't want to feel any differently about Brayden or like him more than I already do. That realization is enough to constrict my heart, making it impossible to suck a full breath into my lungs. Thankfully, I'm saved from further introspection when Caden lets loose a scream so loud it could wake the dead. Conversation and movement erupt all at once, filling the hallway with commotion. It's almost as if now that Lucas's seal of approval has been earned, my family is free to descend on Brayden, shaking his hand and introducing themselves as I stand by helplessly and watch. To have the handsome 6-foot football player in my home, meeting my family, feels surreal. The way he easily interacts with them is equally strange. He's like a chameleon, fitting in effortlessly wherever he goes. 3 hours later, and I'm polishing off a slice of chocolate birthday cake.
If there's one thing I can't resist, it's chocolatey cake with buttercream frosting. Yum. Well, I must say that he seems nice, Mom says, sidling up to me near the basketball court in the driveway where Lucas has roped Braden into a game of horse. I've lost track of how many times they've played. It has to be somewhere around a dozen. My gaze flickers to the dark-haired guy. Oh, who am I kidding? My attention has been laser-focused on him for the last hour. Instead of mingling with my family, I'm watching Braden shoot hoops and goof around with my brother. I shrug, torn between blurting out the truth regarding our relationship and allowing her to believe that we're a legit couple without an expiration date in sight. Lying to my family has never sat well with me. When she arches a brow, I clear my throat and decide to keep the truth buried deep inside. Yeah, he is. Maybe more than I originally gave him credit for. Trust me, it's not an easy admittance, even privately to myself. She nods toward the boys. Lucas certainly has taken to him. My guess is that he's found a new best friend. It does appear that way. Lucas hasn't left Braden's side since we arrived earlier this afternoon. And Braden? He doesn't seem to mind in the least. If I didn't know better, I might even say that he was actually enjoying himself. Emotion settles in the middle of my throat, making it feel as if there's a clump of wet sawdust sitting there. None of the other guys I've brought home have spent so much time with Lucas. They'll usually engage him in a little conversation, and when it turns awkward, they look at me to throw them a life preserver. Braden doesn't need rescuing. I can see why you like him, she continues. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Who said anything about liking Braden? I don't like him, not in that way. The guy is a complete pain in my ass, except that's changed over the last couple of weeks. Our relationship isn't what it once was. It's morphed into something new, and I'm not sure what to make of it. Uncertain how to respond, I press my lips together and remain stoically silent. That doesn't stop her from slipping an arm around my waist and adding, "Your father likes him as well." This conversation is spiraling out of control. Not in a million years did I expect my family to like Braden enough to champion this relationship. This fake relationship. I need to do something to put a damper on her hopes. I rip my gaze away from the guy we're talking about. Look, Mom, don't get ahead of yourself here. What we have is really new. I pause before tacking on. Who knows how long it'll last? Probably not more than another week, if that. For what it's worth, I can tell he really likes you. I almost snort. Shows how much Mom knows. We're not even a real couple. Somehow we've managed to snow Jane Daniels, who usually isn't fooled by anything or anyone. She prides herself on being able to ferret out the truth in a matter of minutes. The woman is like a pig sniffing out truffles, and she's good at it. I've been on the receiving end of her weird mom radar for years. And the way you look at him, she adds lightly. It's nice to see. Excuse me? Exactly how do I look at him? My eyes flare as I do a quick mental rewind. What do you mean? Before she can respond, Lucas lets out a loud whoop, drawing our attention to the driveway. It looks like another game of horse has come to an end. Now they're playing a little one-on-one. I'll tell you this, Braden has a ton of energy to be able to keep up with Lucas. My brother can bounce off the walls, much like Caden. Or maybe it's the other way around. Mom nudges my shoulder when I become mired in my own thoughts. Maybe you should bring the boys a couple bottles of water. I'm sure they're thirsty after all this activity. Sure. Added bonus, I can get away from Mom before she's able to make any more unhelpful observations about my pseudo-relationship. Even though this afternoon has gone much better than expected, all it's done is open up another can of worms. Once we part ways in a week or two, I'll have to make up a story for my family as to why it didn't work out with Brayden. Honestly, I've gone through my fair share of breakups, so no one should be overly surprised when this one crashes and burns like the others. As I walk through the back door into the kitchen, I find my other two brothers with their heads bent together. Their voices come to an abrupt halt as soon as they catch sight of me.
Hey, Sid, why don't you come over here?
Cork calls out, attempting to suck me into their conversation.
We want to ask you a few questions.
I can just imagine what they want to discuss. More than likely, it's to give me the third degree about Brayden. No thanks, I'm fresh out of lies. Sorry, I say, pulling open the fridge and grabbing two bottles of water before slamming it shut again. I just popped in to grab a few drinks.
It'll just take a couple of minutes, Ryan wheedles.
We want to talk. Please. Was I born yesterday? I don't think so. These two will tag team me with questions regarding the seriousness of my relationship, and I'm not up to defending something that isn't legit. Neither of them has ever liked any of my past boyfriends. In fact, they usually rip them to shreds with their teeth. They are the epitome of overprotective assholes. I mean, brothers. Sometimes those two words are interchangeable. The last thing I need is one of them sniffing out the truth. I shake my head and beeline for the back door.
All we wanted to tell you was that we really like him.
Cork calls after me as I slip outside. Yeah, right. Unlikely story. Air rushes from my lungs when I manage to escape the house unscathed. I glance at the sports watch adorning my wrist. If we're lucky, we can take off and head back to school in about an hour. The only problem will be finding a way to break it to Lucas that his new hero wasn't serious about the football tickets. Ugh. I really wish he hadn't thrown out the offer. Brayden has no idea that this will be all my brother talks about for the next couple of weeks. When he ends up forgetting and ultimately not delivering on his promise, Lucas will be devastated. That's the thing about my brother. If you tell him you're going to do something, you damn well better follow through with it. Don't dole out empty promises just to shut him up or impress him, because it'll only cause more damage in the long run. I glance around the basketball court, relieved to find that Mom is holding Caden and is now embroiled in a conversation with Juliet. When Brayden's gaze catches mine, I hold up the bottles. He says something to Lucas before patting him on the shoulder, and then they're both heading in my direction. My brother is pink-cheeked as his chest rises and falls with labored breaths. There's a happy light filling his eyes. No matter how I try to steel myself against it, everything inside me softens. If there's a quick way to my heart, it's through Lucas. Even though I'm 18 months younger than my brother, I've taken on the role of protective sister. I've spent years watching out and sticking up for him. What I learned at an early age is that kids can be real assholes, especially in middle and high school. There were at least a dozen times when I ended up in the principal's office for getting into a fight. If some jerks were going to pick on Lucas, then they could expect to get their asses kicked. The first couple of times it happened, my parents tried to convince me that I shouldn't let my classmates make me so angry. But what did they expect me to do? Stand idly by and listen to these assholes spew crap? With four older brothers and one with a genetic disorder, you learn to stand up for yourself and not take shit from anyone. It's the not taking shit part that gets me into trouble to this very day. Regardless of how old I am, I'll always stick up for my family. especially when they aren't strong enough to do it for themselves. That kind of loyalty extends to my friends. Once a person burrows beneath my skin and into my heart, I'll defend them to the death. That's just how I roll. Demi can attest to that. Brayden points toward a bottle.
I hope one of those is for me.
Knocked from my thoughts, I blink back to the present, before thrusting a plastic container at him. That familiar zip of energy buzzes through me as our fingertips brush. I quickly draw away and shift my attention toward my brother before holding out the second one. Are you thirsty? I ask. He nods before wiping the sweat from his brow with the back of his hand. Then he twists off the cap and guzzles down every last drop. Brayden and I stand by and watch with amused expressions.
I need another water, he says, sounding winded.
Sure, there's more in the fridge. Lucas nods before taking off without another word, leaving me to stand alone with Brayden in the driveway. It doesn't take long for awkwardness to descend, and I find myself shifting my stance, racking my brain for something to fill the growing void. Brayden's gaze stays locked on mine as he takes another drink. Once he finishes, he says,
If I had realized I'd be playing basketball all afternoon, I would have worn athletic shorts and a t-shirt, or at least brought a change of clothes.
Whatever tension had been swirling through the air, ratcheting up in intensity, thankfully dissipates. My teeth sink into my lower lip as I survey his appearance. I almost feel bad. The guy really is a sweaty mess. Albeit a handsome, sweaty mess. Even with the slight wind that wafts over us, his hair is damp. Bits and pieces of it stick to his forehead. The urge to run my fingers through it and push the dark strands away from his eyes thrums through me. Instead of giving in to the impulse, I tighten my fingers and force my gaze away. Thanks for playing with my brother. I can tell that he's having fun. He steps forward, swallowing up some of the distance between us. My attention skitters back to him, only to realize that I have to crane my neck to meet his steady gaze.
There's no reason to thank me. Today's been a blast.
I think that's the first time those words have been spoken by one of my boyfriends, fake or not. A burst of nerves explodes in my belly as his gaze burns into mine. I jerk my shoulders, unsure how to respond. For some reason, it feels like we're talking about so much more than just the games he's played with Lucas. That's all it takes for the noisy party around us to fade away. And then it's just the two of us. His face looms closer, and for a moment, I wonder if he'll kiss me. But why would he do that? There's no one that we need to put on a show for. Instead of ending this farce, I tilt my face upward until our lips can align. Just as his mouth ghosts over mine, a voice calls out,
Hey, Brayden, I found a football in the garage. Want to throw it around?
I jerk away and blink up at him before shaking off the strange sensations that have fallen over me. I mumble something under my breath before swinging around and heading to the relative safety of the house. Even if my brothers pounce, it's easier to deal with them than what almost happened in the driveway.
Chapter 25, Brayden. I lift the bottle of beer to my lips and take a long swig. As I do, my gaze cruises over the thick crowd that has gathered. It might be Thursday, but our house is packed to the gills. Everyone knows that the weekend officially begins tonight and runs through Sunday, ramping up in intensity. Tomorrow evening, most of my teammates will lay low. At least, that's what they're supposed to do. We'll have a walkthrough practice, eat a carb-loaded dinner, and hit the sheets early. Some of these guys are superstitious, and, much to their girlfriend's annoyance, will refrain from sex in an effort not to sap their energy for game day. Even though I tell myself that I'm not on the lookout for Sydney, that's exactly what I'm doing. I almost shake my head before taking another sip. If fucking that girl was supposed to get her out of my system, that plan has backfired spectacularly. It seems like the more sex we have, the more I want. It's becoming a problem. So far this evening, Sydney has remained elusive. But then again, Demi hasn't made an appearance either. And those two are usually attached at the hip. Unless Demi is with Rowan, which has been happening more and more lately. They're so lovey-dovey that it's almost enough to induce vomiting. And no, that's not jealousy talking. All right, maybe a little bit. As soon as that thought pops into my brain, I shove it away. I really need to get my head on straight, which is exactly why I've been keeping my distance from a certain blonde soccer player this week. When Sydney told me that I could bail on her mother's birthday party after we screwed in the locker room, I probably should have jumped at the chance to bow out gracefully. Instead, I doubled down on my stance to attend the family gathering. Big mistake. I'd expected to be bored off my ass. Instead, I'd had a surprisingly good time. Her family is pretty awesome. And yeah, she's right, there's a lot of them. My guess is that the normal decibel level at their house is somewhere around chaos. I ended up spending most of the afternoon playing basketball with her brother before tossing around the football. I also talked with her father and one of her brothers about our accounting class. The most interesting part of the day had been watching Sydney lower her guard and reveal a totally different side than I'd been treated to in the past. Her two older brothers enjoy giving her shit for just about everything. Instead of getting upset or pissed off, she dishes it right back at them. It had been a real pleasure to watch her rip both of them to shreds. It goes without saying that I now have a better understanding of why she's so damn feisty. Can't say I blame her for it either. It must have been hell to grow up with the two of them picking on her nonstop. Teasing aside, they all seem thick as thieves. My guess is that they might enjoy giving their sister shit, but they won't allow anyone else to get in on the action. It's also obvious from her interactions with Lucas that she's extremely protective of him. She softens when he's in the vicinity, becoming almost, dare I say, nurturing? It was a strangely touching revelation. Now that I realize Sydney has a totally different facet to her personality, I'd be lying through my teeth if I didn't admit to wanting to tease it out of her. What would it be like to have that Sydney more often? It's those thoughts that had me mentally pumping the brakes and deciding that a little time and distance to clear my head would be the shrewdest move to make. The only reason we're in this situation is because of Kira. The tawny-haired girl might have been skeptical at first, but she seems to have fallen for the fabrication. Even though a couple of weeks have already slipped by, I think we need to give it a little more time. A solid month, maybe even 6 weeks, should be enough for her to move on to her next victim. I mean, guy. I'm sure by then I'll have gotten my fill of Sydney and won't give a crap about parting ways. Thankfully, Carson rounds the corner at that precise moment, and I'm able to shove these pesky thoughts from my head before I'm forced to inspect them more thoroughly. He pushes his way through the thick mass of bodies until he reaches my side. "Hey, man," I say. "What's up?" He jerks his head toward the jam-packed dining room. "Did you notice that Kira has turned up tonight?" It's almost like my thoughts have conjured her up like a specter. I shake my head. Before I can decide what to do, the crowd parts like the Red Sea, and I'm given a direct sightline. I'm tempted to duck out of the way so that she doesn't notice me. The last thing I want to deal with tonight is her crazy ass. Kira needs to let go of the idea that we'll ever get together and move on with her life. Find a 12-step program if that's what's necessary. Strangely enough, her gaze stays pinned to whomever she's talking with as she flashes the person a smile before twirling a lock of hair around her finger. I straighten to my full height, knowing exactly what a smile like that implies. She's flashed it at me hundreds of times. Interest piqued, I crane my neck, attempting to get a better look at the person she's talking to. It's one of the junior players. "Yeah," Carson says, slapping me on the back. I've seen them together a few times this week on campus. And get this, they've been holding hands. Crazy as it sounds, I think your plan actually worked. Well, I'll be damned. Carson just might be right about that. Air escapes from my lungs as the thick tension that had taken up residence in my shoulders gradually dissolves. It feels like a huge weight has been lifted from me. That girl was really starting to venture into scary stalker territory. It's a relief that I no longer have to worry about her climbing into my bed or tailing me around campus. He taps his glass bottle against mine. Congrats, dude. Thanks to your fake girlfriend, you pulled it off. Sydney. Right. I'll have to let her know that we can put an end to this charade and go back to not talking. My brows pinch together at that unwelcome realization. At this point, I'm not interested in our relationship reverting back to the way it's always been. I'd like to think that we've become friends over the past month. Shocker, I actually enjoy hanging out and spending time with a girl. And the sex is fan-fucking-tastic. My gaze bounces to Kira and the guy she set her sights on. If Sydney caught them together, she'd pull the plug on our fake relationship faster than I could blink. Maybe it's a good thing she's been a no-show tonight. But still, I'll have to tell her about it sooner rather than later. If those two are walking around campus holding hands, Sydney could stumble across them at any time, and then I would have some explaining to do. Now you can cut Sydney loose, Carson adds. The thought of actually doing that feels like a fist closing slowly around my heart, squeezing it until it becomes painful. I drag a hand over my face as understanding dawns. Somehow, when I hadn't been looking, I developed real feelings for her. Fuck. Now what the hell am I going to do? Sydney has made it perfectly clear that she doesn't feel the same way. Hell, if she'd gotten her way, I wouldn't have met her family. She attempted to talk me out of attending the party half a dozen times. Oblivious to my inner turmoil, Carson glances around. Speaking of Sydney, where is she? I haven't seen her in a while. Yeah, me neither. Although that had been by design on my part. I jerk my shoulders. Since we aren't dating for real, it's not like we check in with each other every moment of the day. It's one of the things I like about her. She lets me do me, and I give her the same courtesy. We don't need to be in constant contact every second of the day. Instead of shooting her a text, I decide to be stealthy and do a little social media recon. She doesn't need to know that I'm curious about her whereabouts. Even though I don't post a lot of shit on Insta, that doesn't mean the app isn't on my phone. I bring up her profile and check to see if she's been posting. Chicks are so like that. They need to take a selfie and update the world on what they're up to every other minute. Earlier this evening, there'd been a soccer game. I showed up for half of it and then took off. The girls probably went to grab something to eat afterward, or are hanging out at their apartment, chilling and watching a movie, maybe even cracking the books. I know Sydney has been loaded down with schoolwork. Instead, I find something altogether different. My lips tug down at the corners as I drag the phone closer to my face to get a better look at the screen and the freshly posted photos that have popped up. In the first one, there's a group of girls all smashed together in the frame. They're all wearing sparkly, low-cut dresses. Are they at a party? I scroll through a few more shots and realize they're at one of the clubs downtown. The last pic has me seeing red. It's one of Sydney. That hockey-playing douche, Ryder McAdams, has his arms wrapped around her while he pretends to bite her neck, and she's laughing. What the actual fuck? Fake girlfriend or not, there's no way in hell I'll allow that to happen when she belongs to me. Does Sydney think that it's okay for some random dude to get handsy with her when I'm in the picture? I thought we had an understanding. What exactly that understanding is, I'm not sure. All I know is that I'm fucking furious. Hey, Carson yells as I stalk toward the entryway. Where are you going? Not bothering with a response, I slam through the front door.
Chapter 26, Sydney.
Happy birthday, Sasha!
A dozen girls shout before clinking their glasses together and tossing back their shots. The club is dark with colorful strobe lights that flicker in techno music that pulses in my ears. Not only is this our goalie's 21st birthday, but we won our game earlier this evening. Everyone is in a celebratory mood. They're cutting loose and getting a little wild. All right, maybe more than a little. What the hell? They deserve it. We deserve it. Without Annika here, we're like one big happy family. This is exactly how a team should be. We've been drinking, dancing, and flirting with some of the cute boys that have shown up to party. I'm having a great time. The very last person I should be dwelling on is Brayden. It's like he's taken up permanent residence inside my brain, and there's nothing I can do to evict him. Had I suspected it would turn out this way, I never would have agreed to our arrangement in the first place. He was never supposed to burrow beneath my skin, kind of like an itch I can't quite scratch. More frustrating than that, my feelings were actually bruised when he didn't stick around and wait for me after the game with Rowan and Coach Richards. The reality of the situation is that I shouldn't have any expectations when it comes to Brayden. But somewhere over the course of the past few weeks, this fictitious relationship has begun to feel like the real deal. My first mistake was allowing myself to get caught up in playing pretend. The second one was in thinking I could sleep with the guy and not develop feelings for him, not fall into something with him. In hindsight, it's better that this happened before I could become any more entrenched. At this point, I can still pull back. With any luck, we can put an end to this farce sooner rather than later. Because I'm over it. It's the light tap on my shoulder that knocks me from those troubling thoughts, and for that I'm grateful. Brayden Kendricks is the last person I want to dwell on, especially when I'm out celebrating with my teammates. I should be carefree and living it up. I swing around, only to find Ethan standing in front of me.
Hey,
he says, raising his voice in order to be heard over the loud pulse of music. Hi. I'm a little surprised to find him here. He was never one for the clubs, preferring to party near campus or at one of the local dive bars where the beer is cheap. He leans toward me, swallowing up the distance between us.
Congratulations on your win tonight.
Thanks, they were a tough team. There were definitely a few times when I was afraid the outcome could have gone the other way.
You were all over number five. You had her locked down tight. She couldn't make a move without you on top of her.
I blink, thrown off by the comment. You were there? He nods before sucking the corner of his lower lip into his mouth.
Yeah, I thought I'd show up in support.
When we were dating, Ethan always made a point of attending my games. It was one of the things I loved about him. He plays baseball and his schedule is just as crammed as mine, so I always appreciated him carving out time for me. I'm a little surprised that he would do that after everything that happened between us. Without me giving voice to the words, he seems to understand the questions swirling through my eyes. Instead of addressing them, he asks,
Do you think we could go somewhere and talk? If now isn't a good time, maybe tomorrow?
He jerks his hand toward the group of girls I arrived with, who are showing no sign of slowing down. More shots have been ordered and are currently being passed around.
I know you're out with friends, it's just...
There's a pause.
I'd really like to talk to you.
I shift from one foot to the other and cut right to the chase.
Aren't you dating someone?
It didn't work out.
With a jerk of his shoulders, he shakes his head.
It would seem like I'm not completely over my ex.
Oh. My eyes widen at the curveball he's just thrown at me. Ethan and I were together for about 6 months, and I really liked him. There was a time when the sight of him sent my pulse skyrocketing. that's no longer the case. As painful as it is to admit, even silently to myself, there's only one guy capable of producing that kind of reaction within me. And it happens to be the one I'm fake dating. The one I should, most definitely, not have feelings for. Before I have a chance to collect my scattered thoughts and come up with a response, Ethan takes hold of my hand.
I know our relationship wasn't perfect, but it could be different this time. I still love... Hey, babe.
The connection is broken between us when a thickly corded arm snakes around my waist and hauls me close. Before his masculine scent has a chance to wrap around me and tease my senses, I already know who's taken hold of me.
I've been looking everywhere for you.
The awareness exploding inside me like a firework only reinforces the fact that whatever I once felt for the baseball player now pales in comparison to the feelings I've developed for Brayden. It takes effort to bite back the disheartened groan attempting to escape from my lips. How did I manage to fall so hard for him when I was trying my damnedest not to? Ethan glares at Brayden before his gaze cuts to mine.
Are you two still together?
I open my mouth to respond, but Brayden beats me to the punch.
Yep, he says, we are.
His arm tightens around my waist, pressing me closer, as if he's afraid I might try to escape. Honestly, I'm not sure how I was going to tackle the barked-out question. The truth of the matter is that Brayden and I aren't really together. We're playing make-believe. It's only during the last 15 minutes that I've come to realize how disastrous an idea this has turned out to be. We need to end this charade before someone gets hurt. Someone like me. Instead of taking Brayden's word for it, Ethan's gaze burns into mine. It's like he's waiting for me to contradict him. Even though it would probably be best for everyone if I did, I find myself agreeing with Brayden. Yes, we've been seeing each other for the past couple of weeks. Ethan's shoulders slump before he nods.
Then I guess there isn't much of a reason for us to talk, is there?
I release a steady breath and shake my head. Probably not. Even if Brayden weren't involved in the picture, I still wouldn't get back together with Ethan. We were way too volatile. We're much better off as friends.
All right. I guess I'll see you around, Sid.
His gaze hardens as it flickers to Brayden, whose muscles are coiled tight.
Let me know if anything changes.
A low growl emanates from deep within his chest. When he steps forward, I grab his arm to hold him back. Brayden. Ethan melts into the crowd before anything further can happen, which is probably for the best. When he glances at me, I'm shocked by the possessiveness that has flared to life in his eyes. I don't understand why he's acting like this. It's not like we're actually together. There's no reason for him to be jealous or angry.
We need to talk.
He bites out in a surprisingly gruff tone. If I'd thought he would drop the pretense now that Ethan has disappeared, it doesn't happen. Considering how he almost went off the rails, that's probably a good idea. The sooner we straighten out this mess, the better off we'll be. Yeah, we do. The response is barely out of my mouth before his fingers lock around my wrist and he's dragging me through the crowded nightclub. I stumble on my heels in an attempt to keep pace with him. I've never seen Brayden behave like this before. He's usually so laid back. We make our way through the main part of the club before turning down a long corridor that is less crowded. A heartbeat later, he's shoving through an exit into the darkened alley. Cool night air slaps at my heated cheeks. Before I have a chance to catch my breath, Brayden wheels around, forcing me up against the rough brick of the building. I find myself caged in by his muscular body. His forearms rest on either side of my head as I stare in wide-eyed surprise.
What was that with Ethan?
He bites out. Sparks of anger fly from his eyes. any moment, and I'll be singed alive. If he were any other guy, I'd assume he was jealous. But that can't be. I blink, attempting to find my bearings. My heart pounds a painful staccato beneath my ribcage. Any second, and it'll burst out of my chest. He wanted to talk. It's only when the words escape from my lips that I question why I'm even telling him this. The last thing I owe Braden is an explanation. That certainly wasn't part of our deal.
Do you still have feelings for him?
He presses closer until his lips can hover over mine. The feel of his warm breath drifting across me is nothing short of intoxicating. I want to squeeze my eyes closed and inhale a big breath of him. Oh God, this is such a disaster. Lines have been crossed, and all it's done is blur our relationship. When I remain silent, uncertain how to respond, he growls.
Sydney.
No, I snap.
And what about Ryder?
I shake my head. Where is all this coming from? I already told you. We're just friends, nothing more. My answer has the thick tension that had been wafting off him in suffocating waves, gradually dissipating. The muscles that had been whipcord tight loosen one by one as he presses closer. Close enough for me to feel the thickness of his erection jutting into my lower abdomen. Arousal explodes in my core. This is exactly what I didn't want. If I'm smart, I'll stop this in its tracks. My palms land on his chest in a feeble attempt to keep him at a safe distance. If I don't push him away now, I won't be able to do so later. This entire situation has spiraled too far out of control. I'm able to see that, even if Braden can't. We need to end this, I force myself to say. It's gone on long enough. Braden jerks away as if my touch has scalded him.
Is that what you want?
No. Yes. It takes effort to swallow down the unexpected lump of emotion that has become wedged in the middle of my throat. The lines have become too blurred.
Really?
He cocks his head as his eyes sharpen.
I don't think they're blurred at all. I know what I want, and I think you do too.
My throat grows parched, making it difficult to swallow. When I say nothing in response, he lowers his face until his lips can drift over mine. Slowly. So slowly that the movement becomes almost torturous. As much as I try to keep the sound buried deep inside where it can't see the light of day, a whimper manages to escape.
You want me, don't you?
His voice is thick, knowing. I hate that he's able to see right through me. That somehow, in the short amount of time we've been together, he's come to understand my wants and needs. It was never supposed to be this way. Braden nips at my lower lip, sucking the fullness into his mouth and holding it captive until my knees turn weak, and it feels like I'm in danger of falling to the pavement. Once the plump flesh has been released, he growls.
Answer me, Sid. I'm done playing games with you.
That's almost laughable. This entire relationship has been one giant farce from the beginning. The only reason we're involved with one another is to fake another girl out. Doesn't he understand that our very foundation has been built on lies and subterfuge? Braden's mouth slides lower as he peppers hot kisses along the curve of my jawline.
Tell me.
My brain clicks off as I bare my throat, giving him unrestricted access to my flesh. Yes, I groan, unable to hold back the truth any longer. I want you. He pulls away enough to meet my gaze with a dark look.
Good, because that's exactly what I want too. This might have started out as a fake relationship, but that's not how it's going to end. Whatever this is between us, I want it to be real. I want us to be real.
Is Brayden saying what I think he is?
You want to actually go out with me? My head is spinning so hard that latching onto one coherent thought feels impossible. I don't know if it's because of his kisses or what he's telling me. Maybe a potent combination of both. You want us to date?
That's exactly what I want.
There's a pause before he adds in a softer voice.
I like you, Sydney. I have for a while. I've never been one for relationships, but I want to give this a shot. I want you to belong to me.
I can't believe I'm hearing this from him. Brayden can have his pick of females on this campus, and yet I'm the one he wants to spend time with. The Brayden I've known for the past 3 years has always been so full of confidence. It's strange to catch a glimpse of the uncertainty lurking within his dark eyes.
What do you say, Sydney? Are you going to give this a chance?
His hesitant question has the breath catching at the back of my throat. How can I possibly say no when he's staring at me with such a hopeful expression? My lips lift into a smile before I jerk my head into a nod. A relieved grin flashes across his face before his mouth crashes onto mine. And then I'm lost, swept away on a rising tide of sensation. Chapter 27, Sydney.
I'll tell you what, girl, I can't remember the last time you were this happy, Demi says, bumping her shoulder into mine in an attempt to reclaim my attention. My gaze slides from the Wildcat Stadium field, where my brother is tossing around a football with Brayden, to the girl who has been my best friend since freshman year of college. Pent-up air rushes from my lungs in a burst as I turn her comment over in my head. I'm almost afraid to admit the truth out loud, because she's right. I am happy. Happier than I've been in a long time. I never expected to feel this way about Brayden. I mean, come on, Brayden Kendricks? That just seems plain crazy. But there's no denying the truth. I'd been so sure that I had Brayden pegged as a handsome football-playing jock who enjoyed all the perks of being an athlete on this campus. Now that we've scratched beneath the surface, I've discovered that there is so much more to him. He's smart, caring, and protective of his younger sister, Elle. He talks to his mother on the phone every couple of days. Family means everything to him. It's just another thing we have in common. I've come to enjoy the quiet times that we work together. Sketching him for my art project has been an absolute dream. I could stare at the thick length of his cock for hours. Actually, I have stared for hours. And the way he touches my body. A shiver of awareness slides through me before pooling like warmed honey in my core. I shift uncomfortably on the bench and attempt to tamp down my arousal. Know what I find even more attractive than all of that? The way he is with my brother. It makes my heart swell with thick emotion. Brayden doesn't talk down to Lucas or treat him like he's slow on the uptake. There have been a few guys that I've brought home and introduced to my family. Right from the moment they meet Lucas, it's obvious that some aren't comfortable around an individual who also happens to have a disability. They're unsure how to treat or talk to him, so they end up ignoring him, and that pisses me off. It doesn't take a genius to realize that you treat everyone the same way you want to be treated, or the way you'd want people to treat your loved one. Is that really such a difficult concept to grasp? Apparently so. There's no reason to talk to him like he's in preschool and can't understand basic concepts. He understands them just fine, thank you very much. If those people can't act like normal human beings around Lucas, then I cut them loose and move on. I refuse to waste my time with someone who isn't capable of common courtesy. Last week, Brayden tagged along with us to get ice cream. True to his word, he secured tickets to a Saturday afternoon home game. I let him share the good news with my brother while we were enjoying our frozen treats. I thought Lucas was going to burst out of his skin with excitement. The sheer happiness Brayden was able to give Lucas actually brought a sting of tears to my eyes. I had to blink them away before either of them noticed. When Demi nudges my arm for a second time, I say without hesitation, "I am happy." Her gaze slices to where the team is warming up before the game. The three of us arrived at the stadium 2 hours early. We have the best seats in the house. They're two rows up from the field on the 50-yard line. We're so close to the bright green turf that it feels like I could reach out and touch it. Most fans are only now filtering in. There were a ton of students outfitted in black and red tailgating in the parking lot earlier. As soon as we found our seats, I texted Brayden, and he jogged out of the tunnel to retrieve my brother before taking Lucas back to the locker room. They were gone for about 30 minutes before returning to the field with the team for warm-ups. My attention settles on Lucas. He has a black Wildcats ball cap pulled over his head and is now wearing a red and white Kendricks jersey with Brayden's number stamped across the back. Instead of running through his own set of drills, Brayden is tossing a ball around with my brother. There's a wide smile on Lucas's face. I can't remember the last time I saw him this ecstatic. It's like he's walking on clouds. Demi's father also took a moment to speak with him. I could see Coach pointing to the field. Even from where I'm seated, it's impossible not to notice the way Lucas is vibrating with excitement. Every once in a while, my gaze will catch Brayden's. He'll give me a wink or flash me a smile. That's all it takes for everything inside me to melt into a puddle of goo. What I now realize is that this Brayden, the one I've gotten to know over the past several weeks, is someone I could definitely fall for, if I haven't already. Chapter 28, Sydney. I'll take a large caramel macchiato, please. The girl behind the counter taps a few buttons on the cash register. That'll be $5 even. I dig through my purse, attempting to locate the money. I'm notorious for dumping bills and loose change into my bag. This is usually when that bit of laziness will bite me in the ass. Now I have to sift through all the contents to find it.
"Here," a deep voice says from behind me. "I've got it covered."
My head whips up, only to lock gazes with Brayden. Before I can tell him that I'm more than capable of paying for my own drink, he's handing the barista a couple of bills.
"Keep the change," he tells her with a smile, before his attention returns to me.
"Thanks," I say.
"No problem."
A sly expression settles on his face.
"You can pay me back later."
I snort before raising my brows. For some reason, I don't think you want to be paid back in cash.
"Nope."
He wraps his arms around me and tugs me close before pressing his lips against mine.
"We haven't even been together that long, and look how well you already know me."
The girl behind the counter sighs, drawing our attention. Her face goes up in flames before she spins away to prepare my drink.
"I missed you last night," he whispers. "I really hate sleeping alone."
A bubble of giddiness rises up inside me. "Me too." Which is strange. In the past, when I've been in a relationship, I've always needed my space. We'll spend a few nights together, and then I need an evening to myself, or I want to go out with the girls. That hasn't turned out to be the case with Brayden. Maybe I shouldn't be so surprised. Everything with him is different. Even though we haven't been together long, I like him more than anyone else I've been with. It's kind of scary how perfectly we fit together. There are times when I'm tempted to pump the brakes and slow things down, but then I look at him and all of those thoughts disappear in the blink of an eye. Whatever this is between us, it's happening fast, and I don't think there's a way to curtail it. Most of the time, I don't think I want to. When the girl behind the counter calls out my drink, Brayden grabs it. Her face fills with bright color when their fingers brush. I almost shake my head and roll my eyes. This is exactly how the female population